see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows, and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
F hello, and welcome to our final recap of F-Boy Island, episodes 7 through 10.
In which we finally learn who is smart enough to take a mere 50K and a sterling reputation, and who is an unredeemable F-boy.
This final episode drop of F-Boy Island had 4 episodes and so much drama. We're already spending too much time just on the intro. We don't have extra margins to mess around with here. We have to get started. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. I'm mentally prepared. I'm ready to get into these F-boys' brains. It's going to be dark, but someone has to do it, and that someone is us.
Us and all the many viewers of F-Boy Island. So we start episode 7, checking in with the eliminated dudes. In the nice guy grotto, the boys are doing a massage train. Meanwhile, in Limbro, the men are just doing reps with their fake wooden weights on the beach when they notice that someone is missing. Casey.
I mean, Casey is on his hero's journey, hitchhiking his way across the island back to fair CJ. And you just got to respect it.
It's so interesting to me the way that they took like Colton Underwood's actual flight from production and turned it into this completely, like, staged. He's goofy. Followed closely by cameras the whole way as he thumbs down a motorcycle and, I guess, tells the motorcyclist, please take me to the F-Boy Island Villa. And the guy's like, yes, of course, F-Boy Island Villa. And Casey appears at the door of the main villa, pokes his little head in there, and all 3 women are hanging out on the couches. And CJ is absolutely thrilled to see him.
Yeah, Casey's like, look, I had to escape Limbro. I missed CJ. And they're like, wait, what the fuck is Limbro? So he has to explain that. And then CJ is just like, yeah, I'm glad this dude is back. I didn't mean to send him away in the first place. And in classic CJ fashion, she says, he did something bad to be with me. I love that.
He tells her that he trekked through literally hundreds of miles of terrain, which I have to say, if true, was not pictured at all. So I assume he's lying. That to me indicates that he is still being a bit of a fuckboy here. He's selling her some tall tales. And he says, you know, the elimination, not your fault, water under the bridge. Let's just move forward together. And she says, well, yeah, like I'm in. You'll get another chance. And I'm going to be nicer and treat you with more respect. And Casey's like, wow, great. But also like, please don't treat me with too much respect. Like, it's hot when you are a bitch to me, but like, great. Yay. But like, not too much.
He's like, be a bitch to me, but not about Garrett.
But not about Garrett. Garrett's off limits.
And we also learned that his nickname, I assume self-proclaimed, is Definitely. The baby-faced assassin, which, okay, Casey.
I like that he is self-aware about the fact that he looks like he's 17 and works as a pizza delivery boy.
He does.
He leans into that.
Frankly, the draw of him.
And he arrives at the pool party that evening, holding hands with CJ. This is when the guys find out that he's back. So poor Sean is literally like, oh.
It's like, fuck, I'm probably out.
Yeah, Garrett like leaps up and swoops Casey into his arms. He says, I was more excited to see Casey than Sarah, which like, no
shit.
We
know, buddy.
Yeah.
We know.
Not some big fucking revelation. Like, it's pretty clear. You've never seemed that excited to see Sarah. And Sean, meanwhile, is like, CJ, what's up with like Casey and how he's back now? And she says, you know, I'm glad he's back, but it's confusing because I have these new relationships and, you know, I don't know. I really like him, but like, I don't know. And Sean sees the tea leaves here. He reads what's going on. And he says, you know, I get it. I won't hate you, like, no matter what happens.
Which Sean is such a sweetheart.
He's, like, letting her go. He's like, I'm still here, but I'm letting you go. And CJ says, as of now, Sean has fallen behind. And it's awkward because even Sean can tell that.
And that's true.
Sean does not suffer from myopia in these
No, Sean
moments.
Seems
he knows what's up.
Gentle and smart, and I really like him.
Yeah. Speaking of intelligence, I enjoy
the lack thereof.
I did enjoy the little interstitial of Nikki Glaser hosting a women's studies class for the F boys.
None of the men could name 5 female athletes.
Well, she specifically does ask Anthony because she asked for them to name 5 male athletes, and he immediately names 5 basketball players. And she says, okay, now name 5 female athletes.
He can't
and
name
he
one.
He says, I don't watch girls' sports like that.
I was like, not even like Serena Williams?
Like you can't name Serena Williams?
Like
it's
one.
Almost like he's like, it's almost like he's just trying to be a dick on purpose. Like,
well, poor sweet Anthony also thinks that phenomenal starts with an F, so.
Yeah, it's not a great showing for the F boys. She asked
Israel, on the other hand, can correctly identify that the gender wage gap exists, which I appreciate.
I really loved his explanation of it, which was like, you work, if you're a woman, you can work really hard, and then you still, you know, you.
Well, he's Israeli, so he was
you
like,
don't make
you know,
as much money.
The woman is depressing, and then the work, like the man, and then they still don't make the money.
Yes. He was the only one who got a question right. I was very proud of him.
I love Israel. He's just like out here living his best reform F-boy life.
Then she asked them all where the safest place to ejaculate to avoid pregnancy is. And they say, on her back.
Nikki's like, well, I was hoping for condoms, but I guess that's a lesson for next week.
That's a little advanced. I mean, I guess they've identified a place that is less risky than the vagina in that regard.
That is true.
Let's move on to the 2-on-1 dates back at the villa. Nakia invites Fernando and OG Jared. She's been having this sort of love triangle with OG Jared and Colin. But as I think I mentioned last week, there's this weird dynamic where she never lets Colin like get close to her at all, but she still kind of treats him as a front runner in other respects. Like she'll make out with him at parties and talk about him like he's a front runner, but she never really like takes him on dates or gives him like alone time. Meanwhile, OG Jared gets like all the dates and alone time, but he's constantly in the doghouse. And at this point now that she knows who the nice guys are, she's trying to like very consciously give a nice guy a shot. Yeah. So she ends up inviting Fernando and OG Jared for a thruple massage.
which, you know, Fernando is a chiropractor, so he does know how to give a good therapeutic massage.
Yeah, good choice, Nakia. And Jared immediately straddles her butt in order to rub her back.
In order to claim her, I think.
He's mounting her. I mean, let's call it what it is. Jared's like, we're doing a massage? Great. It's time for me to mount my woman. And finally, Nakia has to, like, order him to move so that Fernando can properly massage her butt.
I'm like, this woman is trying to get a legit good massage. Like, just let Fernando be.
She's been very stressed, understandably. And she needs all the tension in her butt removed. Can she have that?
Yeah, exactly. Let a woman live. And meanwhile, OG Jared just sits there on the table next to them and, like, fully pouts like a petulant child.
It's not a flattering look.
No.
I don't know what he thinks he's accomplishing by doing this right in front of Nakia. He's literally, as Fernando gives her a luxurious massage that I'm sure she's enjoying, he's lying there being like, anyway, can you leave so I can have alone time with Nakia now? Like, I think your ride's here. And Nanda's like, oh, so you're going to call me and her an Uber? And OG Jared is just like, doesn't even know what to say. He's like, I wasn't expecting him to come back at me at all. He's just like, no, not for both of you. And Nakia's really impressed. She's like, Nando's holding his own. He's pushing back. But OG Jared is not daunted. He continues. He's like, here, I'm going to try this. I don't hate you. I don't hate you, Fernando. I'm not even threatened by you. I actually just would like to kick it with her one-on-one, and I think she'd like that too. Which, like, oh, okay then. Like, if you genuinely just want to hang out with her one-on-one, then, like, definitely can. No, that's not how this works, dude. Like, you think that Fernando cares about whether you genuinely want to spend time with Nakia? What if he genuinely wants to spend time with Nakia?
OG Jared is like a whiny little surfer boy.
It's like he has no understanding of how other people's minds and motivations work. He's like, everyone's just waiting for me to prove that I'm genuine so they can give me what I want. And it's like, no, they might have conflicting desires from you for their own reasons. So Nakia takes one-on-one time with Fernando first, actually. And she basically says to him, like, you know, you call yourself a nice guy, but you gave yourself that title. And I'm going to be the judge of that. She's like basically the only person, I think, that we see say this, which is like, I actually can't trust that you're a nice guy just because you called yourself that to production.
Yeah, I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah. She feeds him a sandwich. She has a great time. She's like, I forgot OG Jared was even here. But he's there, all right.
He's definitely there, and he wants to talk about feelings, which is seemingly the only thing that they discuss.
Yeah. And it never looks like that much fun. Like, the way that he discusses feelings is to be like, I like you so much that, like, you're really pissing me off, quite frankly. And Nakia does not want to have this conversation again. She's like, we've done enough talking about feelings. You don't even know anything about me. Like, if you were really all about me, you'd want to ask me everything and know everything about me. And he's like, oh, well, there isn't just much time. And she's like, you find time to kiss me.
Fair point, Nakia.
He's giving her the Bachelor journey edit conversation. Like, I'm sure that on The Bachelor, we always say, like, oh, I'm sure they talk about other stuff that's more interesting than just, like, whether they're falling for each other. But those are actually the only conversations that Jared is having with her is like, hey, good to see you. I'm, like, really vibing with you right now. I see us together. Meanwhile, Sarah invites Josh and Garrett on a two-on-one date. Garrett is not really excited about the two-on-one. He's like, I'm going to be kissing Sarah. Josh is going to be kissing Sarah. At this point, I'm pretty much going to be kissing Josh. Super, super charming,
cool,
as usual,
cool, bro,
from Garrett. And the date is that they're going to be painting vision boards of their future. This is very much a streaming service dating reality show staple. They always do this on Too Hot to Handle. And they're always terrible paintings that are just like about how much they love money and adventure.
There are so many money signs present in these paintings.
What's incredible is, okay, so first of all, both their paintings are terrible. They're also very similar. They're just like white background with just like stuff that they want to have on them.
We get a glimpse of Sarah's, and hers is more artistic. It's like an actual like landscape, and she seems pretty good actually at painting.
Yeah, she seems unimpressed by their artistic skills. But what they both do have on their board is their vision board that they've painted is money. Josh also has like a plane, and he's like, adventure is very important. Fitness is important to me. And then Garrett also has a lot of money signs, and he has a dolphin because I guess Sarah told him she likes dolphins. And Josh is like, oh, there's a lot of money on there. That's like F-boy material, bro. Like, I guess he's really interested in the money. And I was like, Josh, you had money too, man. Yeah. Like, if you don't want that, if you don't think that's appropriate to put on the board, then like, keep it off your board.
And I was like, look, Josh, I agree. Garrett's a flaming F-boy, but this is not a compelling argument given that you also drew money
signs. He literally
signs.
Was like, his money signs were bigger than my money signs. And that just goes to show.
Like, at least Garrett did a little splatter painting, which is what I think, frankly, put him over the edge for Sarah.
I think she actually picked him because he put a dolphin on there. I was like, Josh, could you not think of one thing about Sarah that you could put on your vision board?
He's like, fitness.
Fitness. She has a great ass. We later learn that he loves her ass. But Sarah does pick Garrett's painting and gives her one-on-one time to Josh first. And he tells her she's dynamic and that he wants his partner to be great. And she says, mm-hmm. And then they kiss.
Fireworks.
Just, it's like a flat line. Like, every time they spend time together.
Sarah then talks to Garrett, who is just as rosy-cheeked as ever.
He just gets pinker and pinker by the day.
Yeah, so much sunburn. And he's just like, do you not trust me? Like, why would you not trust me? Let's be all in. And she's like, okay, cool. And then they make out.
Yeah. She's like, I'm ready to see his soft side. Literally, all he has to do is be like, please trust me. And she's like, yeah, I love.
She's like, wow,
I love that he asked
really
me to trust
trying.
Him.
I love how much he's trying by asking me to trust him. Wow.
CJ invites Casey and new Jared to make pizza. And Jared is like, I'm from New York. So, yeah.
As you know, when you enter the city, they give you instruction manual for how to make pizza.
Exactly. It's something that it's in the water. You know, people always talk about how good the New York City water is. What they mean is that when you drink it, you just are infused with
Pizza knowledge.
With pizza knowledge. And CJ thought that there would be a lot of jousting between these two guys. But at first, it's very chill. They're making the pizza. And then Casey sort of tries to take the heat up a little. He takes out his olive oil brush and he's like, I'm supposed to paint you now with olive oil all over. And new Jared says, and I'm going to lick it off.
He just always has to raise the ante to a more like aggro level.
It's so, his rejoinders are always so and often quite sexually aggressive that you're sort of like, okay, like I see why you felt the need to step in there, but you really took it to a new place where now everyone's very uncomfortable. And new Jared then starts to go at Casey a little bit more. He says, you know, remember what you said to CJ the night you left, that you didn't deserve any of them. And Casey says, well, I didn't think she had given anyone a chance yet. And new Jared says, well, we have opened up to each other since you left. And Casey says, well, less than 2 weeks ago, you were walking down the beach with Nakia. So you're being a hypocrite.
I'm like, Casey, that's not the same thing at all. New Jared is attacking you for publicly disrespecting the woman you're now trying to date.
Yeah. A hypocrite is not just,
also did a thing that's annoying to
the partner. You're a hypocrite because you too may not be the perfect partner for this woman. No, a hypocrite is if he did the same thing and he's judging you for it. And that is simply not the case here.
That night, of course, they have another pool party. And Sarah's like, welcome, I'll throw you a bone. We've had almost no time together. I know I haven't given you any dates. But let's talk about how you're nice, but you're an F-boy. Let's just talk about that.
They start talking for like 3 minutes. And almost immediately, Garrett comes up and is like, can I actually have time with Sarah? And she's like, okay, like, fine. I don't know how to ever say no.
And Garrett does this super annoying thing again where he's just like, but where is your head at, Sarah?
Like, what are your emotions?
I need validations. Tell me about feelings.
Constantly negging her.
Constantly negging her.
And constantly just trying to actually signal vulnerability by performing insecurity that he does not actually feel. And she immediately falls for it every time. She's like, oh, he wants to know how I feel. Like,
he's
soft
inside. He was only an F-boy because he's so damaged and scared of not being validated. If I validate him, then he'll be soft and nice.
Yeah. But it's not convincing to me that he actually feels that way.
Oh, yeah. There is no reciprocity here. And it's, like, pretty hard to watch.
Yeah. And then, of course, I'm probably biased because we do get insight into Garrett's strategy through the interviews that
they
show.
Yeah, it's obviously more transparent to us than it was to Sarah being,
of course,
like, in it.
But because Garrett immediately tells the camera that, oh, I just need Sarah to forget that I'm an F-boy so I can manipulate the situation to my advantage. So in case anyone was temporarily taken in, within 5 seconds, you've been disillusioned. Welcome, having lost his little bit of sit-down time with Sarah, is getting pretty desperate. Like, it's going to be elimination soon. So he pulls Sarah aside and is like, I just wanted to say to you, like, lays a big old smackaroo on her glossy lips.
Look,
and Sarah thinks it's a nice kiss. She's very pleased.
I mean, way to shoot your shot, welcome.
Yeah.
And
Sarah, as we know, doesn't usually like it when a guy asks for permission to kiss her. And welcome certainly did not do that. So
no,
she's a happy camper. So the next day, we see Casey and Garrett and OG Jared kind of debriefing on the situation. And Casey tells Garrett and OG Jared, you know, I know I'm up against two nice guys, but I think I've solidified in CJ's mind that I'm the good parts of an F-boy. Adventurous, fun, really good in bed. And then he says, I don't have the biggest dick, but I have a boyfriend dick. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to be something you can ride every day, and you're going to be happy as fuck. I'm sorry, Grandma. The thought of, like, these guys having female relatives who are going to watch this just makes me feel, like, hot and uncomfortable all over. Like,
yeah,
I'm oh, God.
I'm, like, very glad I don't somehow, like, have a cousin who ended
who
up
does
on F-Boy Island.
Or a grandson, God forbid. I did appreciate his description of boyfriend dick, you know, sizes
me too.
And everything.
I actually thought it was pretty funny.
Just the perfect example of Casey's, like, appeal. Like, he's like, I could be embarrassed that it's not the hugest dick you've ever seen or a little insecure about it, but instead I'm like, I see all the upsides to what I am.
Yeah, he's like, this is actually
I'm gonna sell
a
it.
Plus.
Yeah. He's always selling himself. Garrett asked them if they're becoming less of F-boys, and OG Jared is like, I can be both. Like, I'm a nice guy for an IKEA, but I'm an F-boy other times. And Garrett says he's 80% an F-boy and 20% a nice guy, and that 20% is for the special person that might be able to get you to change.
There is nothing more toxic than a man pushing the myth that, like, if the woman he's talking to just performs well enough, that he'll change for her.
And so explicitly.
It is so fucked
up. So explicitly. He's like, there's a kernel of good, devoted, great boyfriend guy in there if you're good enough. If you're good enough, that guy will come out.
If you just happen to not be special enough, then tough shit. I came out that way. I was born 80% F-boy. Says it on my birth certificate.
So it's elimination night. And each woman has 3 to 4, in Nikia's case, men who are going to plead their case. CJ's guys basically are all just like, I'm so into you. The future is bright. And Garrett says to Sarah, I had fun, like, getting to know you on a deeper level this week. And there's, like, a lot that still needs to be explored. For example, like, I have a wild side and I need to see, like, can you keep up? And if we cut it off right now, I wouldn't get a chance to explore that. And I'm finally at a point where I can give myself to you.
I hate this man so much. Here he is negging her yet again, saying, like, it would just be such a shame because I actually think you might not be good enough for me, but I haven't found out yet.
I'm, like, losing my shit. Like, I don't care if they never showed us any of Garrett's interviews. That is, this is the most blatant, unvarnished, artless negging I have ever seen. Yep. And the fact that it works on Sarah makes me want to go to bed for 3 days. Like, it's Same. So hard to watch.
But ultimately, there is only going to be one man eliminated during this elimination so that they all presumably effectively end up with three final dudes. And Nakia's like, I'm going to take one for the team. And it's going to be...
Cliffhanger! Who's it going to be? Who's Nakia sending home of her four dudes? You know, we're just going to have to wait to find out because we're taking a quick break and we'll be back soon with Nakia's decision. Can you keep up? I like
love it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since... you know, people aren't mind readers. We don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now we're back. And as we quickly find out, Nakia chooses to send Greg home, which makes complete sense because we had literally seen him being like, yeah, I don't really think we have that strong feelings for each other. So goodbye, yeah. Greg, and your beautiful beard.
And he says as he leaves, I think your truest connection is with Colin. And Nakia is like taken aback by this. She keeps being like, am I missing something about OG Jared? Which is confusing to me because I think she seems really aware that there's something off with OG Jared.
And also that none of the other men like him.
Right. Like, it's like every time she's surprised anew. Like, the scales once again fall from her eyes.
She is only really into OG Jared. So she's just like, what if there is a way, in fact, to rationalize this outside of the fact that I just like him?
I think that she is into Colin physically,
yes.
Has never developed like a real emotional connection with him. And the next day, they're going to have a daytime pool party. So the women all put their triangle bikini tops on in creative ways, upside down, sideways.
Look, you got to get the side boob. You got to get the under boob. Just every iteration of non-nipple breast exposure.
And the women make the men dance for them. Casey and Garrett try to twerk. It is bad. It is bad for me to watch as an experience. It seems bad for everyone there. Everyone's trying their best, though. You know, welcome
they're
is like, it looks
goofy.
Like I'm having a seizure, but like, okay, I'm doing
it. They're being goofy, which I think is appreciated by the women. Like, this pool party just genuinely seems like a bunch of friends having fun together, except for OG Jared, who is yet again sulking in the corner because he's not a great dancer. Like, sir, did you see Welcome? Like, that is not the point.
And like, even if you hate dancing, I actually don't even think you have to participate in the dancing.
You can just be laughing and standing up, not like sulking in a corner alone.
Yeah, like you don't like try to avoid taking center stage maybe, but the obvious misery on his face is not a party vibe.
He's a big baby.
So Nakia is unimpressed by this. She's like, his actions are not matching up to his words. He keeps saying he's going to step up and try harder, not to piss me off. And then he just like sulks. Meanwhile, she is giving time to some other guys. So she's connecting with Colin. She has her second love language conversation of this pretty short series.
Claire, are there ever enough love language conversations to be had?
I am so over love languages. I would like to never hear about them again.
Now we're on to attachment styles, frankly.
Yes, that's my new thing. And she says again that physical touch is one of hers, and he sort of starts kissing her all over her face and gets a boner.
You know what? I thought this was hilarious that they kept this in. She's like, what's on my leg? He gets all embarrassed. We see him like jump onto a daybed. Like, honestly, I thought it was funny.
Sarah has a sit down with Garrett where she says that she doesn't appreciate how he said that he was too much for her to handle. And he says, well, there's a physical intimacy side of a relationship. And I just want to know that, like, you'll be, you know, if I want to do something freaky, like, you'll be GGG, you know? Like, are you going to be down to, like, do anal or whatever? He doesn't say that. But, like, listen, we all know what he's doing here. He is negging her into anal. And
get that printed on a t-shirt, Claire.
And of course, instead of being like, you know, I have my own standards about how I want these things to go, but, you know, I don't appreciate you trying to like manipulate me. And instead she's like, oh yeah, totally. Like, let's have a really intense makeout right now just to show like how exciting I can be in the bedroom. Ugh, it's working so well on her. He is negging her into submission.
It's so depressing. It is so depressing.
Which is interesting, I think, because later she talks to Welcome and he says, you know, I was nervous about telling you this because people think it's weird or judgmental, but like I have been in open relationships in the past. And Sarah's just like, yeah,
that's
weird.
Basically his death
That's so
sentence.
Weird. That's yeah, I don't like that. Like, would you want to do that in the future? Like the way that she reacts to Welcome saying that compared to how she reacts to Garrett being like, you've got to do whatever freaky shit I want in bed if you want me, is like opposite sides of the coin. Meanwhile, CJ is chilling with Casey. They seem to be having a really good time. And she says, you know, I'm not put off by the F-boy thing. I'd rather take someone with a bad intention and try to flip that rather than take someone good and keep proving how great they are. This is what we call an unhealthy approach to picking men that is likely to backfire on you. It's textbook, but it is romantic. That is why I love to read romance novels about like reformed rakes. You know, what could be more exciting than the man who is only loyal to you and like no other woman was ever good enough for him.
Yeah, we've all watched Bridgerton, okay?
Exactly.
No, and Casey's like, yeah, my motivation changed from money to CJ. I'm reformed. We're on the same page. She's everything that, you know, that he wants in a best friend, in a lover.
And they make out, but no lover stuff yet. She's holding firm. And new Jared doesn't like this. And he, like, lurches out of the pool and grabs CJ up from the couch where she's entangled with Casey and carries her back to the party and into the pool.
And something that I appreciate about CJ is that she can identify that this is, like, sort of a shitty move, and it's very kind of like peacocking to Casey trying to prove something, and she's just like, he's just flexing, I don't like it, like he's hot and I'm into that, but like the macho shit isn't really quite for me, but also he's
but
strong.
Also it is, but
also
it is.
Low-key is
it is. Group date time, they're all going out together, all of the guys, all of the girls, to swim with stingrays. Sarah jumps right on in with the stingrays because she's trying to prove to Garrett that she's
Sarah,
really adventurous. She can
Sarah,
hang. And
stop.
Garrett has to like pretend to be impressed. Like, he's like, oh yeah, she is really, really down. Like she just like got right in the water of the ocean.
And poor Sean is like, I'm still here, I guess.
But CJ and Casey are graphically making out on the boat while new Jared, like, kind of jockeys for attention. And I'm just like, here, Nakia is kind of giving OG Jared another talking to about how she had high expectations because he said that he loved her. And so when he doesn't step up, it's really frustrating. And he's not very good at defending himself. Like, it never makes sense to me when he explains his feelings.
All he ever says is, I have feelings for you. I'm like, Jared, buddy, you got to expand on that.
Yeah.
Like, that's your thesis. Where's the rest of the essay?
Yeah. We're going to need some paragraphs, some quotes. CJ, meanwhile, is giving new Jared a talking to. She's saying, I'm not a damsel. I don't need to be saved. That macho shit is a turnoff for me. This is a straight lie. This is wishful thinking. She wants for it to do nothing for her.
She wants for it to do nothing for her.
But
Like so many of us, we grapple with the way that we've been socialized as straight women in the world.
It's just depressing because you can see how this macho shit has given new Jared a big advantage over someone like Sean. Even as she's like, don't do that, I hate it. It's the reason that he's in the game. That evening, they share some more one-on-one conversations. Sarah and Josh have some time to reconnect. She's sort of propped stiffly in his lap. Like, she looks sort of like a Barbie that's, like, been positioned across his lap.
Yeah, there's not a lot of movement.
Dress, not a lot of movement. Very straight back. And she just stares blankly as Josh talks soothingly about what a beautiful, solid connection they have. And she says, our relationship has just been in this linear, progressive line upward. My relationship with Garrett has been up and down, like more up and down. I'm sure there's a graph name for that too. And she's right. I'm very impressed that she got that close. It's called a sine. And, you know, this is why they say in like algebra two, you're going to use
you
this
will
knowledge
use this.
For the rest of your life. That's why you have to pay attention. Stop trying to spell boobs with your graphing calculator. One day you'll be on a reality show and you will want to be able to describe your relationship with someone using an accurate mathematical
term. I mean,
frankly,
they should really frame math in that way. More people might pay attention.
Casey, meanwhile, is confiding in Garrett that he came for the money, but he actually really likes CJ and he's scared to lose her, even though it sounds soft. Garrett says, enough about that. What are your feelings towards me? All Garrett wants to know about is how everyone feels about him.
No one wants to and needs to be affirmed more in this entire game than Garrett.
Garrett is desperate to know how everyone feels. And Casey says, well, my feelings for you are stronger than any other guy here. And Garrett asks if Casey will move in with him after the show. And Casey says, as long as I get CJ's approval, then yes. They're over the moon. They seem to be kind of intentionally self-consciously parodying the way that contestants talk to the lead here.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that they actually want to move in together.
I think
that.
They do, too. I also, though, do enjoy, I think this is like another indication of the way we see that the contestants sort of, as you said in one of our first recaps, like, be invited into the tone of the show. Like, they're allowed to sort of wink and make jokes about the format and the language that contestants often use. And yet they're also betraying something real, which is that these two dudes are obsessed with each other.
Yeah. Nakia sees Colin kind of moping on the beach. And she's like, oh, yeah, Colin, he's great. We had a boner together earlier. That was fun. And she goes up to him. And suddenly he's just like, I want to tell you about all the pain I've been through. I want to hear more about yours. Like, let's trauma bond here. He says he was raised by his grandmother and didn't see his mom until fourth grade. And then she left. So now he has these abandonment issues. And Nakia's really touched that he opened up to her about this.
Nakia's like, you did bare your soul to me and share all your trauma, and I will eliminate you very soon.
Yeah, and right now, actually, it's elimination night, the last one before the finale, because they're going to pick their final two. The men, again, all make their cases, and again, Garrett acts wild and says some wild shit.
It's unbelievable. It,
the neg continues. He iterates it into new forms. Sarah even starts to pick up on it at this point. She looks super flattered at first, but as he like keeps laying it on thicker, she's finally like, it's snorkeling. Like, it's not like an extreme sport. Like, she's starting to feel a little insulted by how intensely he is flattering her over this.
I will say that when Sarah tries to sort of jab back, her monotone kind of works because it just like all lands so deadpan.
And Welcome says he just loves being able to be weird with her. And I have to say, Welcome, you can't be weird with her. She's not into it. And it's about to end for you.
So obviously, Welcome is eliminated. Sean is eliminated.
I'm sorry. OG Jared's speech is beyond. He's wearing black denim jacket, turtleneck, black jeans.
So much look.
And he just steps up and it's like, you know, I know we've had a rocky road, but if it's perfect all the time, is it really real? What we have is real, and that's facts. I know we're going to keep aligning, keep ascending, and that's also facts.
Keep
it's
ascending.
A vibe when we open up to each other. I'm excited to travel, have adventures. Honestly, like, let's rule the world together.
And this works. Inexplicably, this works, and she eliminates the man who's like, let me tell you something very real about my abandonment issues.
She doesn't actually like Colin.
Right.
So I think what happens is she picks Fernando first to kind of force herself to include a nice guy. I think that she's trying to make choices at this point that will give her options that she knows are healthier for her. But then once she's picked Fernando, she's looking at Colin and she's like, I'm sorry, I'm just like crazy into OG Jared. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I can't not pick OG Jared. Also, Colin in his interview says, you know, Nakia made the right choice. I would be crazy not to take the money. So fair play to Nakia. Yeah. And as the episode wraps, Nikki is gazing out at the ocean and thinking, you know, she's like, what's going on here? I want to understand, but I need it explained by a man. I need a mansplain. She whips out a conch shell and trumpets thunderously across the ocean. Far across the island in Limbro and the grotto, the men cock their heads. They hear the siren call. They begin to stampede to the exit. Tariq is dragging some toilet paper with him on his shoe. And Nikki says, they're coming. They're all coming.
On that note, let's head right into episode 9, which frankly might be my favorite episode of the season.
Well, I know that you love the mansplain.
I love the mansplain.
The ultimate manfrontation.
The ultimate. We open and tumbleweeds are rolling, rattlesnakes are rattling, and the nice guys and the F-boys have been released from their respective post-elimination homes. They're just on the beach, ready for a rumble. They stare each other down, and then they start hugging. Because aww, bromance is real.
They're like, I missed you, bro. Like, how you guys been? Which is funny because they're kind of here playfully undercutting the idea that these groups of men are opposed.
Distinct. In any way.
And yet then we go into the mansplain, which is basically an opportunity for all these men to shit on the men who remain. They're like, conflict between men, that's dumb, but also the premise of this entire episode.
So I love this because it definitely takes clear elements from the Men Tell All. Like, this is an Ilan Gale show after all, but they are fully weaponizing all of the downtime that happens on these shows where the dudes just like talk shit to each other and nothing has been aired yet. So they're like much more willing to just throw each other wildly under the bus and say everything that happened. It's incredible stuff.
It's really amazing to me how they got these guys to do it. Like what's in it for them except burning bridges with any of the guys that they remain friends with?
Though I also wonder, it's like, I think because the stakes of the show as a whole feel kind of low, like none of it really matters.
Yeah. They seem excited to be back in the mix in some respect. Greg is like wearing a t-shirt only around his neck. He's like, let's fucking go, man. I'm ready. And they start with Garrett. So Nikki immediately cues up Matthew, the guy who originally revealed that Garrett had a girlfriend. And he says that what I didn't say at the time was that after your first date with Garrett, Sarah, Garrett told me that you wanted to use his money to start your own business. And that if, you know, we're together after this, I would have to buy fake tits for her.
Charming.
Because his girls have fake tits.
All of them. And he foots the bill, which is, I guess, means he's actually the victim, but also that he's very rich. Anthony, which Garrett really comes back to, Anthony's like, look, I think that Garrett and his ex are in cahoots, which is an opinion that Nakia and CJ also share.
And me.
Me too. Garrett brings out the most wild accusation, frankly, I may have ever heard on reality television, where he accuses the other men of a, quote, lack of professionalism.
Like, right, sir, what's the profession? Like, what do you think professionalism means?
Also,
what is the profession in question?
If you are a professional reality TV star, you actually might, like, spill more tea. Like, that is literally in your job description.
He's like, there's just a level of professionalism that you can have. And, like, I just don't think... Everyone's like, literally, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what does professionalism have to do with
He's like, if you were a real professional, you wouldn't tell everyone that I told you I was going to need to buy this gold digger some fake tits.
And the men are then all asked to clap for who they think Sarah should end up with. And basically, no one claps for Garrett. He seems to be the guy that the other gentlemen see as the most F-boy. I have to say, he gets less applause than anyone else. does during this segment. And Sarah says, you know, well, you know, I'm not here to change anyone. Great, good. And then she says, I think the right person will change for the right person. I was like, so you Sarah, do want to change someone.
Yeah. And you are picking Garrett, is what you're saying. She then says, I want Garrett to hype me up like he hypes Casey up. I'm like, okay, so you're only talking about Garrett in this entire speech. Cool, you're going to choose Garrett. Poor Josh. Great. Moving along.
A lot of bad stuff comes out about Casey. I have to admit, Casey is my favorite of the F-boys who are left.
Same.
And I know that I should be more skeptical of him. I'm trying to be clear-eyed about that. But this mansplain made it a lot easier to be skeptical about Casey.
Yeah, this is really not a good look for Casey. Chris is basically like, Casey called CJ a glorified escort. He said he couldn't wait to get the money and teach her a lesson. And he and Garrett have apparently been bragging that they're going to get a share house in LA to, quote, fuck mad bitches. Charming. Charming all around.
It's cute stuff. And the glorified escort thing.
CJ, also, I just want to point out a very good line that CJ has. She's like, so, there's something wrong with being an escort, but you guys can F us to get money?
Yes.
I was like, that is great, CJ. And that is very accurate.
Yeah. It's just like pure unadulterated sex worker shaming.
And just like generalized misogyny.
Yeah. And then Casey stands up and is like, CJ, I do like you. But you know what else I like?
Garrett.
My best friend. And we will live together in LA. You can't stop us from living together in LA. Even though I did say earlier I would get your permission to Garrett. I did say that. But like, I will do it. Okay? And then he stalks off. Casey knows that this is fucking him. Like, this is really bad.
This is really bad. Like, I actually think he would have won. And then this happened.
Yeah.
On the other hand, new Jared, like, literally no one has anything bad to say about him.
He used a lot of S curls, says Craig. That's it.
They really like, everyone likes new
this
Jared.
This is funny to me because Jared has been such a loudmouth and like kind of a provocateur. And I was surprised that no one had anything they wanted to air.
I wonder if they're just kind of like, it's all in good fun. This guy is like a bit of a peacocker, but.
But nothing like
he hasn't actually like done anything that bad.
Yeah. But despite everything that happened with Casey, that came out about Casey, the men seem pretty split on whether CJ should end up with Casey or Jared.
I mean, I think Casey is like a fun guy to be around, and he also seems to be really into CJ. So it's like,
right. I think the distinction we're seeing with Garrett and Casey is that I do think Casey is actually into CJ. And I think that the guys know that Garrett is not into Sarah and that Casey into CJ, despite the fact that Casey is treating
a bit of a dick.
CJ badly. Yeah. OG Jared. First off, Colin is like, Jared's a manipulator. He's a pathological liar. He talked to Garrett about coming on TV for sponsorships. His speeches are fake. Greg says that Jared told him that he was going to have like 15,000 girls in his DMs.
1,500?
Or 1,500.
To be precise.
My bad. Off by a factor of 10. And she's like, well, when did this happen? And Greg says, right before I was eliminated. So, like
yesterday.
Just now. Yeah. And OG Jared is like, that was out of context. Like, yeah, I did say the thing about 1,500 girls in my DMs, but, like, it's out of context. And the context.
You're like, okay, what was the context?
The context is just, like, I like you, you know? The context is just, like, that I like you. And that's why I was saying that. And I was like, Jared,
this
if there's an
possibly,
exonerating context, you've got to be able to convey that more clearly
than
like you
are right
now. Yeah,
this is possibly the worst explanation and defense ever.
Fernando is next, her nice guy. And Anthony says that Fernando told him that he gets hella bitches in L.A.
And Fernando just kind of takes an interesting tack here where he like sort of owns it, where he's like, yeah.
I get
hella bitches. I'm a doctor with two offices and I'm about to be an Olympian. I need more on that. And he's like, look, there's women. Oh, he's a bobsledder.
It comes
up
in one of these episodes.
Oh, wow. See, this is the problem. There's too much information being thrown at me. Okay. Well, he's about to be an Olympian. I mean, that is honestly impressive. He's like, look, yeah, there are women around, but I am a loyal guy. And I've been honest with Nakia about the fact that I messed up when I was like 21, 22. But this doesn't really affect my level of commitment.
And at this point, having shared all their dirt, the F-boys and the nice guys are released back into the wild to inflict more pain and confusion on the heterosexual women of America. And that night, Nikki tells the women that they're each going to go on two 24-hour mega dates before the final elimination. First, they're all going to go on dates with their nice guys, then the F-boys. Casey does try to directly talk to CJ about what came out in the mansplain, fix things. He says, you know, I was being an asshole. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said those things about you. I was upset and like it was wrong. And CJ's like, well, like, that's not enough. I feel unappreciated. You show more like enthusiasm about Garrett than you do about me. You like leap to your feet to defend Garrett and talk about living with him, but not to talk about me. And she's just like, be more sorry, and walks away. Casey's really fucked. Like, this is,
yeah,
this is bad for him. He was in a really good position. She had just on the big Stingray date been like, he's clearly my favorite. And now this.
Ah. And you would think that this would also have been very bad for Garrett, except Garrett is dating Sarah. And he's just like, yeah, the only explanation I have for you is I bought my ex's fake tits and veneer. So, yeah, that's all you need to hear, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I said. Hmm. I said I did buy my ex fake tits and I bought some veneers. I'm like,
but where did the part come in where you said Sarah was a gold digger and that you're going to have to buy her fake tits?
Well, and then he says, like, you know, some people are just, like, into fake tits. And, like, some people, you know, are into something different.
Good point.
He's like, yeah, everyone has preferences. And
this what is he's not saying about to you is,
I'm into fake tits, right? Like, that's clearly what he's saying. So he is clearly thinking that he wishes you had fake tits. Sarah, you know, says, you know, I hate that he commented on women's bodies. That's gross. But I don't know. Maybe he's into me. It seems like he's into me, though. So let's just forge ahead. She's like, I'll buy myself fake boobs if I want to. And let me say, if Garrett is allowed to have a couple more weeks with her, she will find that she wants fake tits. Like, that is the level of control he seems to have over her. OG Jared tries to apologize to Nakia. He's like, when we get out of here together, it's going to be so good. And she's like, stop
There's
talking about
no
the future.
Evidence. Worry There's about the no present. Evidence that it will.
Yeah.
He's like, this is me. I'm taking accountability.
I made mistakes, Nakia, okay? I did. I made mistakes.
You just yell about making mistakes and then it's done. Nakia's like, I honestly don't know if I made the right decision keeping him here. And she, too, walks away from her front runner.
So all of the F-boys are in great shape heading into the Nice Guy Mega Dates, which are up first. CJ and new Jared go for a cruise in a Ferrari, a red Ferrari that CJ drives, which goes great because new Jared loves a strong, commanding woman who takes control. And they have a very picturesque drive around the island. She has her hair in an elegant scarf. And
it moves around in many incredible ways. It's really versatile. And I love that for her. And they sit down and Jared's like, look, it's been a while since I connected with someone because I've been playing professional football abroad. Fun fact, he in fact played professional football in Wuhan and was forced into government quarantine in January 2020. Just a little fun fact about New Jared.
Yeah, he's been on the news. Also, he's now appears to possibly be an anti-vaxxer. So.
Yeah, that is concerning. I did go to his Instagram page, and I was upset.
Meanwhile, Josh and Sarah are exploring the crystal caves.
I feel like they get the least romantic dates.
She even says this later, that yeah, they don't get romantic dates. The idea of filming a romantic date in a bat cave, considering where these coronaviruses are coming from, I was like,
I'm
triggered.
All I could think about was like, I'm sorry, bats have been ruined for me by COVID.
The number of articles I've read that, contain horrifying details about, you know, minors dying from bat viruses they've gotten while shoveling bat excrement in caves. It was all I could think about during this
date. I was like, get
Josh out of here. Give him a Silkwood shower. Back at the cottages, Garrett is confronting Casey. He's like, I'm a little butthurt. You threw me under the bus, bro.
That entire sentence. Everything about it. Ill.
Bad. And Casey's like, yeah, man, I was being a little bitch when I did that. Like, honestly, like, these guys need re-education. Like, the words they are using are not okay. Like, it makes so much so misogyny, upset. Homophobia, like, packed into, like, every insult.
And every just, like, general statement they make, frankly.
Yeah.
It's, like, their entire lexicon.
And Garrett's like, yeah, why didn't you just, like, blame Kevin?
Like, I think in my notes at this point, I just wrote, oh, my God, throw these two into the ocean, even though I'm low-key most attracted to Casey.
He should even more be in the ocean to keep us safe from him.
It's true.
To be honest.
Exactly.
I'm not
exactly.
at any risk from Garrett. There's nothing Garrett can do or say
There's
to hurt
me. There's nothing at all attractive to me about Garrett. Yeah, it's true.
Fernando and Nakia, meanwhile, are going on their first date. She really has not given him much time of day until I think she really decided that she needed to give herself a nice guy option.
I mean, they literally get all the way to the finale without kissing.
Yeah.
It's wild.
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 They go sort of sail kayaking on a double kayak with a little sail, and it looks beautiful. And then they have a picnic on the beach, and Fernando is like, with me, all she has is a smile. OG Jared makes her cry every day. And so obviously I'm the better option.
Unfortunately, she is only into OG Jared.
Yeah. Unfortunately, being happy and enjoying her time around him is not the criterion here.
No.
It's whether she actually is into him. And that night, they all move on to the evening portion of their date. CJ and new Jared have like a little hot tub set up, champagne.
CJ's like, I adore new Jared. I've been getting gaslighted and love bombed, just dodging these like men left and right.
She has read all of the psychological material about red flags.
Yes.
She's ready.
She has.
But new Jared has shown her a different way.
He gets that overnight date.
Yeah. And Sarah and Josh return to the scene of their first date for ceviche and more rum.
That was cute.
We get, like, a literal flashback to their first date there, which was, like, a week ago. Remember that? And Sarah is trying to think about, like, can this relationship exist outside the island? He's 9 years older than her. Sometimes he says words, like, digitally that really reveal an age divide between them.
That was really sobering for me because Josh is our age.
He's exactly our age. And the word digitally did not seem weird to me when he used it.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I just want to come visit you in Chicago to kick it and turn up, which is mainly what he seems to envision. It's funny because he doesn't have a party vibe at all compared to the other guys. But whenever he talks about what they will do after this, he's always like, we're going to go clubbing. A relationship, in other words.
Yeah.
And
that's like all my relationships. We just go to the club.
And they talk about how much they both like Sarah's ass and Josh's abs. He's like, what's your favorite thing about yourself? And she's like, physically my ass. Is that what you were asking? It's definitely
my
butt.
He was like, same.
Same. We're on the same page.
They do then retire to her bedroom.
They definitely have that physical chemistry, if not much excitement. CJ and new Jared are definitely getting down. That leaves us with Nakia and Fernando. They come back to the villa. He carries her in to the villa, I think. And she says that she had a great time, but I think it's best if you sleep in the living room. And right away, she's like, get changed. Go get changed, and I'll tuck you into your cot. She like, tucks him in and heads up to bed. And he's like, I thought maybe I was going to get, like, a window to have our first kiss there, but I just, like, didn't. And
it's like, oh, Nando, you're so screwed.
Now I'm here with only my socks to keep me warm. Meanwhile, the F-boys are preparing for romantic battle. And all night, really, they've been doing some positive visualizations of how badly things are going on the nice guy dates. They're like, oh, yeah, like, Josh is out there, like, just trying to talk to Sarah about his new podcast about not getting laid
Good one, Garrett. Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. I love this TV show, bro. It's pretty good.
And they're like, we're gonna be the fun ones. We're gonna knock the shit out of the park. And that brings us to the end of episode 9. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the big finale.
Can you keep up? I like love it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And we're back, and we open at the villa where the women are mentally preparing to go on dates with their chosen F-boys. First up, CJ and Casey, they are going boating, and I want to note that it's a much more impressive looking boating experience than Nakia and Nando.
It's more like a yacht, like rather than a kayak.
A mini yacht.
Yeah, it's a completely different, I mean, let's just say, it's a different genre of boating. It's not really the same kind of outing. And CJ is still trying to get over the mansplain, and Casey just keeps being like, I'm an asshole. I'm sorry.
I mean, what else can he say? He's like, I did that shit. Nakia and OG Jared are having a little staycation at the villa, I guess because things went so terribly, they like cannot be trusted to leave the premises. And Jared's like, look, Nakia.
She's like, when I storm out of this date, I want to only have to go upstairs to lie down in bed exactly. with a bottle of vodka.
She's like, I cannot travel too far. Jared's like, Nakia, I'm going to prove to you that my feelings are real and that you can trust me. And I'm going to do that by telling you my feelings are real and you can trust me.
It works for Garrett, you know?
And it, frankly, also kind of works for OG
It works
Jared.
A little bit for OG Jared. Nakia is trying to emphasize, like, I was so upset. You keep fucking up in the same way. And, like, I don't know how to fix this huge problem that we keep having. And he listens very seriously. And then he's like, but tell me this. Did you miss me? Because I missed you a lot.
He really sounds exactly like that.
He sounds exactly like that.
And she's like, fine, yes, I did. I want to make out with you. And they do this, like, thing, which I find hilarious, where they're both just like, I'm such a weirdo.
Such a weirdo.
You're such a weirdo. It's like we've never been understood in our lives. Like just two extremely hot people who are just weirdos. Like I get you, you get me.
I will say this. I think you have to have that to be in a solid relationship. I think you have to have a little bit of that feeling that's like no one else accepts understand. Or sees me like this person. And, you know,
I mean, that's a very strong draw. That is very compelling.
It's hilarious to see super hot people being like.
To see it. But I don't discount that they genuinely do feel this way.
Yes. It's hilarious because they're clearly not weirdos. Okay. Well, looking at Jarrett's wardrobe, he's a little bit of a weirdo. Nakia is not weird. She is insanely hot and successful and cool. And Jarrett is maybe a little weird, but also he is extremely successful and hot.
And hot.
And primarily hot and ripped. And no one has ever, like, looked at them and been like, look at those two weirdos. At least they have each other. But they have to have that narrative between
yeah,
them.
Yeah, look, mentally,
because otherwise, it's
there.
Like, I'll just go date another hot person. They're doing that thing where they make each other, they're making the other person feel necessary and special. Right.
This is what bonds them.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Sarah and Garrett, I was so mad at this because after giving Sarah and Josh like a lame date, Sarah and Garrett get the full on adrenaline date, which as we know from watching The Bachelor is very effective in bonding people.
And just from science.
Yes, and from science. Deployed on shows like The Bachelor. And they're going jetpacking, which looks difficult and also kind of thrilling.
And Sarah struggles at first. And Garrett's like, yeah, you can do it. Good job. Like, you're killing it.
And Sarah's like, wow, he's such a supportive partner.
He's
I
so
guess
supportive.
Everything's fixed. He's perfect.
He's really hyping me up, you know, like, just like.
I'm like, Sarah, he like gave Casey. You one cheer. I can't. Ugh.
And then he's like, anyway, are you ready to cheer for me? And she's like, yeah. He can't go an hour on this experience without literally asking Sarah for affirmation.
Yeah. And he's like, look, I think that after this, there would be no issues. And I'm like, yeah, there will be no issues because you will not be together after
this. Yeah. He's not lying, technically. And Sarah just feels like, wow, he really showed that he was supportive. And my gut is that I want to keep you around, she tells him. She's like, my
fix your gut, Sarah. Fix your gut.
I think this might fix her gut, to be honest.
Yeah.
If anything can, I think this experience might fix her gut. And she asks him what he's learned from this whole experience. And he says, just that you, like, you've been, like, riding with me since the beginning. You haven't, even through everything, all the shit
I've
pulled.
He's like, what I've
learned. You haven't dumped me. And that's so empowering.
I can be horrible to you, and you'll still stick around. So that's a great lesson for me.
Yeah, that's empowering for me. It literally makes me feel like I have all the power in this relationship.
Over you.
Over you. That night, the F-boys get their evening dates. CJ and Casey have a beach picnic on a daybed. And then she decides that she's not ready to really offer him an overnight. She says, you're going to sleep on the cot downstairs instead of in the room with me.
Casey tries to bargain, and it, like, does not work immediately. But don't worry. He has some other tactics.
Meanwhile, Sarah and Garrett sit down, and Garrett's like, night date, time to pull out the negs. You know, you really proved me wrong today about how, like, not adventurous and boring I thought you were. And, like, actually, you're pretty cool. Like, that
I
was
wanted
pretty, that
to
was pretty chill.
Literally strangle him during this. And Sarah's like, okay, Garrett, but, like, how can I trust you? And the answer to this question that he gives is, quote, if you can get to the soft spot of me, I will absolutely give you all my trust. I'm like, okay, Garrett, you just told her that you'll trust her. This is not an answer to the question, why should, like, I trust you?
It's not an answer to the question. He treats it as if him trusting her is synonymous to her trusting him.
Yeah.
Which it is not. Also, he's still doing the thing where he's dangling a little challenge
he's like,
for her.
Yeah, there's a soft spot.
Get
you haven't
to the
gotten
soft
there
spot.
Yet,
it's
but
there.
We're close.
Keep
we're
chewing.
Close.
How many licks to get to the center of Garrett's heart? And he toasts to Sarah by saying that she just, you know, she rides with me.
He is unable to compliment a single thing about her other than, like, in relation to himself.
It's so dark. He's literally just ingraining in her the idea that her value and desirability is wrapped up in how loyal she is to him and how much shit she swallows from him. It's disturbing.
It's actually very disturbing. And it works on Sarah. And she's like, great, let's talk more, wink, wink, by coming up to my room. I don't think much talking happens.
Nakia and OG Jared go dancing. This, I think, was a test for OG Jared because he ruined a group date by refusing to dance.
Jared knows. He's got to, you know, dance this time.
Yeah. He's like, Nakia loves dancing. I'll do it. And it's fine. You know, he's able to get through a few, you know, body gyrations in sync with Nakia. That's all she needs, bro. Just, like, make a little effort. Like, she's not expecting you to be one of the former Chippendales. And I also love that Jared is wearing, like, leggings, like, painted on leggings and, like, an oversized sweater.
I was so struck. I was like, Nakia is fully dressed for the club and Jared is dressed in his little glasses for, like, a spoken word
he's got his little reading spectacles.
At a coffee shop.
I have to say,
unbelievable.
I kind of am obsessed with this look. I often find his looks to be really bad. But sometimes I think he takes off enough accessories before he leaves the house where I'm like,
this
oh,
one I enjoyed. He had like a very nice cream sweater
he's
on.
He's playing
was very
with
fetching.
Proportion in a way that men often don't, but that I think is creative and cool. I respect that, you know. I want to encourage him to continue playing with fashion. Not that he needs my permission, but, you know,
no,
I love
I think
it.
He will no matter what.
I think that I could hardly stop him. and she does invite OG Jared up to her room for the night. And he says, I'm about to hop on some buns. Is this the new thing? He's not the only person that I heard describing, like, getting laid as
I have never heard it, but
some buns.
But is this, are we just too old?
It's true. I'm 33 and I have to now have consultations with my colorist about how to blend my grays. And I didn't expect it to happen this fast.
Oh, I have so many gray hairs. It's very depressing.
And meanwhile, Casey has been relegated to the cot area. CJ once again displays her interest in decor and interior design by presenting the three cot options to him and pointing out their various features, color schemes, embellishments on the quilts. And then she goes upstairs while Casey gets settled. And Casey has decided to play this a little differently from last time by performatively and outspokenly accepting her desire for him to stay on the couch. He's talking to the camera. He's like, I respect my woman. I respect CJ.
He's
and
yelling.
Here I am.
It's reverberating throughout the entire house.
She doesn't trust me right now, and that's fine. It's just one night on a cot, and she's worth it, CJ.
And of course.
CJ overhears, of course.
And she's like, maybe you should be upstairs.
Yeah, I can't leave you down here all sad. All sad and alone and cold. And his face just lights up. The thing that I had most recently seen that it reminded me of is when we finally took the second car seat out of our back seat. And I was able to ride in the back while our son was strapped into his car seat. And I'd never done this before. And I went around and opened the back door and got in next to him. And his face was just like, mommy's here. Aww. You know, that's what Casey looks like. He's like, I didn't know this was possible, and it's fucking amazing. And yet, of course, he was scheming it the whole time.
He looks at the camera and he's like, I played it perfectly. Your boy is smart as fuck. The next morning, the F boys are feeling great. They all made it to the bedroom and they're, you know, they go back to the cottages for a tense chat with the nice guys. New Jared's like, so did you guys sleep on the cots? And Casey's like, no, we did not. And this is when new Jared does something that I was not a fan of.
Yeah, Casey makes a little comment that's like, yeah, I was up early doing a lot of cardio. And Jared says, how's my dick taste?
Ugh!
Like, again, just like escalating it in a way that just brings like a unnecessary halt.
Sir. Unnecessary.
Like, what the fuck kind of thing is that to say?
At this point, like, no one can say anything. They're all just like in like shock, like, what? Like, laughing uncomfortably. Garrett finally just gets up and is like, nice guys, nice try, and like leads the F-boy posse away. Garrett seems just like a producer's dream. He's just fully game to lean into this character and like say all the little lines to the camera.
But I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'm still shaken by that Jared thing, because he just does. He's so like, seems so nice and supportive, and then he'll literally just be like sexually aggressive comments in order to establish dominance over other
men. Wasn't a fan. Was not a fan. Yeah, I think, you know, Casey at one point is like, Casey's like, I know he's like technically the nice guy, but like that wasn't nice.
And it's really time for the final eliminations. CJ, Nakia, and Sarah all get in their sparkly get-ups.
They just look like beautiful Oscar statuettes. They're all sparkly and in gold. And Nikki is like in a very complimentary silver metallic mini dress, like the same but different.
Love it.
And Nikki sets the scene. She's like, okay, women, you need to ask not only can an F-boy change, but have they? And just because a nice guy is nice, is he really good for you? Food for thought.
Nikki then explains that if the women pick a nice guy, they will be rewarded with $100K to split with the guy. And if they pick an F-boy, he will be given the $100K with the option to split it or take it and run. And I want to note here that the women actually do have the option to keep all the money for themselves if they pick the nice guy. It's almost like hard to remember that because it's so obvious that they're not going to do that. And I think we do have to talk about the guy's fashion.
I was laughing so hard because there was clearly not, you know, a singular dress code for this final elimination ceremony. We have new Jared and Josh show up, like, looking like they're ready for more of, like, a traditional, you know, rose ceremony on The Bachelor. Like, they are wearing, blue like, suits. Really nice tailored blue suits. They look extremely good. Casey is like one step down from that. He's like, I've shown up for a jacket and tie optional summer wedding. I have my khakis. I have my button up.
Because I went to a Catholic school with a loose but very real dress code, he looked to me like one of the like hot jocks, like in one of his school uniform looks. And Fernando,
he's like pretty much wearing mostly what he normally wears, like a nice kind of brightly patterned shirt. But he's like added a gold necklace and he's tucked it in.
Jared is wearing some suiting up top.
Oh my God.
And sort of skin tight nude legging pants.
We have to call them jeggings. They are so tight, but a full like loosely fitted suit jacket up top.
Once again, playing with proportion, but less successful for me than the earlier look.
Yeah, I thought the earlier iteration was better. And Garrett, of course, puts in the least effort of all. He looks literally the same as he does every day.
Yeah, I think that should have been another red flag for Sarah, who is dressed to the nines, and he's there in one of his like sweat-drenched short-sleeve button-downs. And CJ makes her choice first. They each give a little speech. Jared says, you came here to find a partner and not a project, a partner who can bring healthy conflict to you and not embarrass you publicly and privately.
I mean, frankly, compelling argument.
Casey is muttering like, fuck you, you fucking bitch. I have to say, I did check their social to see if any of them are still together. Did not get any clarity on that, or at least any signs that any of them are still together. But I did see that Casey, Garrett, and new Jared were all hanging out.
Yes, so they were, like last night.
Yeah, they seemed to be.
Sarah's in town. A bunch of them seem to be in LA currently. And from what I saw, there were no indications that anyone is still together.
I saw no indications of that at all, or an acknowledgement even, really, of the question. But I did want to say that this beef seems to have been cooked, eaten, disposed of. And Casey gives his little cell and is like, "You're everything I want. I've made mistakes, but you've made me better. And I'll always be your best bud." And she's like, "I can see both of these men in my life." But she picks new Jared.
And we discover that Casey would have, in fact, split the money had he been chosen.
Yeah, his choice was like pre-locked in with production, presumably so that even if they didn't pick the F-boy, they could find out his true colors. And he says,
and Casey's like, "I have risen. I'm not an F-boy anymore." And he and CJ have a really sweet exchange.
I just like, I still can't quite figure Casey out. You know what I mean? Same. Like, part of me really thinks he's genuinely into CJ and is kind of a fuckboy, but is like, "Oh, but this is like my type. And like, we could both have a lot of money and have a good time together. And that seems like a win-win." Another part of me is like, isn't it actually a really good play to take $50,000 and come out of this looking like a nice guy and just make your money on Instagram afterwards?
You know what? I guess we'll never know. But moving on to Sarah, of course, we all know what she's going to do, but we have to talk about it. Josh like does a whole gesture where he's like, "Here is my elimination hat. You have my hat. You have my heart." And Garrett really goes for broke. This is where I deploy all of my knowledge of romantic comedies. He's like, "Sarah, you know, I want to be the person who eats cold pizza with you, who watches the sunrise with you, the guy who kisses you every morning before you go to work." And of course,
she's literally
this
like,
is very effective.
She's laughing with joy as he says this. She's like, "Oh my God, it's happening. Oh my God."
And of course, she chooses Garrett. She's like, "Look, I'm not here to play it safe." Josh is naturally shocked and disappointed. He takes his hat back, which, fair. And in his little in-the-moment interview after,
yeah, he's like, "Great, like, but I'll need that hat back, though. Okay, yeah. Bye.
He says to the camera, he's like, "Look, I refuse to speak ill of Garrett, but I do think I perhaps would have been a better match for Sarah, but I, like, wish them the best. A gentleman to the end." And now Garrett has the power. And he's like, "Sarah, you are a beautiful soul. Our dates have been awesome. I came here 80% an F-boy, 20% a nice guy. And now I'm definitely going to leave here 60% an F-boy, 40% a nice guy. And that's because of you. You have made me want to change for the better." And Sarah is smiling. Everyone's like, "Wow, how romantic." Then he says, "But I'm going to have to end this relationship and I'm going to take the money. This is a game. They told you what I was. I'm an F-boy. I don't see a future with you outside this experience." Stone cold motherfucker.
Again, I'm just like, is this the move though, dude? Like, you could have $50,000 and a romantic image that really sells your platform to the masses.
Well, Claire, he already told you.
Yeah,
he doesn't need any of the money.
He's literally just being a dick for no reason.
Yeah, for absolutely no reason.
He just wants to hurt Sarah's feelings.
Sarah is just like, looks frozen at this point. She doesn't cry. She just sort of looks like horrified, frozen in place. And then she goes, "That's pretty fucked up."
Yeah.
Poor and Garrett's Sarah. Like, "Yeah, I'm sorry." And this is where Sarah gets a little more forceful. And she's like, "No, you're not. Fuck off. Seriously." And I was like, "Yes, girl. Yes. Thank you. Erase all of these demons from your life."
Yeah. Well, it's nice that he's removing himself for her. It's really the kindest thing. And Garrett has to go sit down by himself while Nakia makes her choice, which I imagine seems much more fraught now.
Nakia looks like she's very nervous. She's just, like, clearly, "I am picking an F-boy also."
Right. She's like, I just saw my friend get F'd over by an F-boy, and now my choices are a guy I have never kissed and an F-boy, so I don't really see a good outcome here. And they both make their little speeches. Fernando is like, "You know, I've just was slow to come after you because you made me so nervous. You're a beautiful black queen. And OG Jared says, I didn't believe in love until I met you. And, you know, I don't need to be anything I'm not. You've taught me that. I love you. It hasn't been a perfect love story, but it's our love story. And she picks OG Jared. And this is maybe my favorite part of the whole series.
Oh, I loved this so much.
Nando is just like, yeah, this is a lugubrious moment for me, obviously.
He's like, on my way out, I will be deploying an SAT word.
Kind of like slightly incorrectly. I was like, that's not quite what lugubrious means, but it's so close.
You know what?
I'm going to give it to
him. I applaud him.
And OG Jared gives a very confusing and very long speech about what he's going to do that starts really unpromisingly by saying, like, you know, I was so into you and I wanted to, like, leave this process with you. And then, you know, once we were hanging out and you were just like, go away, don't talk to me. And I just really didn't like that dismissiveness. I didn't like that at all. And there's been times when I felt like, damn, should I just walk away and go home? I could see myself just gaming because I'm a competitive person. Like, I was like, this is like a real strong heel turn speech. This is like the mask is coming off speech.
And, but
then he
it's
says...
It's the opposite structure of the Garrett speech, essentially.
Yes. Then he says, the whole point is that I didn't because I met you and 100K means nothing compared to what we have. And he's going to split the money with her.
F-boys can change. And then OG Jared is like, I'm really sorry. I'm giving a terrible speech. My ADD was kicking in.
Like, he's like, sorry about that bad and weirdly threatening speech. I just got confused.
But I did find him charming when he was like, I have ADD.
And he's like, I love winning and I love her. Best of both worlds. Having it all.
Look, it would not be F-Boy Island if there wasn't one final plot twist. Mm. Nikki's like, Garrett, you've been watching all of this happiness. Come stand up for a moment of shame. And she says, we hoped you would reform your ways, but you chose not to. And I don't really believe F-boys should be rewarded in the end. At all.
At all.
So with that in mind, the $100,000 you've chosen to keep for yourself, it's instead going to a charity of Sarah's choosing. You've lost the money and an incredible woman. F-boy, F off.
I love that they called this one of the...
Yeah, Ben
called this.
Really called this.
He was like,
in
they
our
should
first...
have done F-boy, F-off. And little did we know that Nikki was just saving it.
She was saving it. And it was deployed and effectively
it was
here.
Perfect. It gave me chills.
And I saw some people complaining, like, this isn't actually fair.
Whatever.
The rules of the game. I'm like,
this
you know
is actually,
what?
That's
Who
what my
gives
husband
a shit?
Says.
Greg, who gives a shit?
Greg was like, that's not fair. He played by the rules. Like, they can't just change the rules.
Yes, they can.
They
that's literally,
can.
They change the structure of the show, like, every episode. That's what's fun about it. Who cares?
And, like, the whole,
it's good TV.
The whole point is, like, shouldn't people be reconsidering whether they are treating people terribly in order to gain an advantage in a game?
Right. Ilan Gale has said in interviews, like, this was actually something that production felt really strongly about from, like, going into it, that they wanted to figure out a way that people would not be rewarded for, like, not changing and being bad people.
What's difficult about this, though, is, like, then what happens next season? Because how do you give the F-boys an incentive to fuck the women over without...
Well, I wonder if they then sort of, like, turn it and make it a question, which Ilan has said he wants to explore in future seasons, the question of, are self-proclaimed nice guys actually nice? Because we know it's a false dichotomy. So I think that they're sort of counting on the fact that they can just switch up the rules every season and, like, people just won't know what's going on ever.
Yeah, they're all just going to be like the rat in a cage with the lever that you push and push, and sometimes there's a food pellet. Like, they're just like, we might get rewarded by the rules sometimes, but we can't actually count on any of them, and we don't know when it will happen. So we're just gotta keep trying shit. We just
I support it. I love it. I'm into it.
And that's life, man, right? Like, you don't
exactly
know what behavior is going to be rewarded. You just have to kind of be true to yourself. Poor Sarah is like, I do regret letting Josh leave. And
I was like, I hope she DM'd him after filming.
I honestly, if I were Josh, though, I'd be like, sorry. Like,
you liked Garrett.
You would have gone with Garrett if he had not dumped you in this humiliating fashion. So no. I think that he should, if she hit him up, I would hope that he would be like, no, thank you. I can do better than that.
As you said, Josh has many options.
I think he does.
And frankly, all of these
also just
people do.
Another classic moment for Sarah to be like, I feel a lot awful. I feel terrible. While her face betrays no emotion of any kind.
Zero. Just a flat surface.
It's incredible. I'm glad that she has kept some level of her grace and equanimity after going through this very painful experience. And I hope that that the ladies are all doing well today.
I mean, they are all in LA currently. I watched a live that CJ and Sarah did because I guess Sarah is going to move to LA soon, but hasn't yet. So she's like staying with CJ. Mm. And yesterday they were watching all the final four episodes together. They hadn't seen them yet. And they were both just like cringing the whole time. And then they got on a live with Nakia. And it seems that they're all still quite lovely friends and like very supportive of each other.
And that's the real love story of this, because I can't
frankly,
find
it is.
Any evidence that either of the couples are still together.
I mean, and are we surprised?
No.
No.
Not really.
But I think this was like a near perfect reality show.
I enjoyed every minute, and I can't often say that. Despite, you know, how much disgusting behavior I saw, the tone really hit the spot. It's so light, it's so frothy and cheeky. We're able to have this critique of the bad behaviors without just like drowning in like seriousness and misery. And it was a nice palate cleanser. I'm hoping that Paradise is giving the same energy this year. We're taping this before Paradise's premiere. So
I guess we will see soon.
Yeah.
On that note, that's it for this bonus episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Harry Huggins. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And more importantly, remember to tell all your friends who used to listen to us as Here to Make Friends. Help us get the word out about our new name.
You can also find us on Twitter at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back soon with more bonus episodes. Can you keep up? I like love it.
Stitcher. Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at target.com.